Do you go into play the kids mode maybe earlier than you did last year, considering you've already had some of those guys here for a good section of the season, and now is really a chance to give them everyday regular work rooted in a certain position?
I mean, part of the motivation of Lyles and Dickerson was what we got in return, whether it's Cody Ponce and an arm that we've liked for a while, or in Dickerson, the international money, the chance to add to that class, to make a bigger investment in next year's class, or essentially this year's class. That's a good opportunity to do. But part of it was also wanting to get the Osuna, a chance for Jose Osuna to play as Gregory Polanco is working his way back. On the pitching front, Brault and Agrizol, they are in our plans for next year, so to get them innings. And of course, we've got Mitch Keller, who's pounding on the door to get an opportunity in our rotation. The challenge is, how do you know, who do you clear out to put him in that rotation? So that part of the process, with not being Liriano, given what was available and what was accessible, we felt that it was better to continue to hold them. We don't really feel like they're necessarily blocking anybody from getting opportunities. We love the veteran presence. And in terms of play the kids, we are. We've got a very large group of players in their second to third full season. We've got a group that they're playing their first full season, and we are essentially playing the kids, as to use your words. And we've got some other guys that they'll come up when they're ready, and that's the challenge. It's never good to bring a player up before you feel like he's ready, even if it's time to play the kids. They still need to be ready to take that next step, and as we have those guys, we'll look forward to doing that.
Yeah, what are you looking for out of Mitch in order to sort of green light a move up here? What needs to happen?
As much as anything else, opportunity. Again, with what Brault and Agrizol have done, it's tough to move them out with the way they pitched. Joe Musgrove, Trevor Williams, Chris Archer, another great sign for optimism last night. And the last handful of starts have been better, other than the one that he got removed early. But we're seeing some positives there. So as you start to look around the rotation, part of it's opportunity. With Mitch, it's just continuing to refine the things that are going to allow him to be successful up here. And you run down the laundry list, you do with every young pitcher, and Mitch is the same.
Is he going to six, maybe a possibility?
It's a conversation we've had. The challenge is most starting pitchers like their five-day routine, and right now I think we've got three consecutive Thursdays as off days. That's all of a sudden you're starting to ask guys to go on 7 days instead of 6 days, which is already uncomfortable. They prefer to go on five. We do have a stretch of, I think, 16 consecutive games that could be a consideration at that point in time, if depending upon how all things come together.
Are there plans for a rehab assignment for Cervelli in the near future?
Francisco continues to do amazing work off the field, to stay in great shape, to put himself in a position to be ready if and when we get the authorization. And that's the next step, is working through the next phase of the medical authorization.
When do you think you get the authorization? Do you have any idea?
It's a great question. It's one that I can't answer.
Up to the doctors. Right.
What all is he doing right now?
Working probably as hard as he's ever worked, and that's hard to say for a man that works really hard to begin with. He's putting himself to be physically as ready as he can be. He's swinging the bat. He's bouncing to different positions, and he's trying to be ready when that authorization comes, to be able to get out on a rehab. But the next step is still a big one for us to cross.
Is he catching bullpens?
Has not started catching progression, and he's doing everything outside of that at this point in time. But again, a few more conversations, and that could be an opportunity for him to begin his next step in his full baseball progression.
Ponce was a starter when he first came in the pro ball. Yeah. Do you consider looking at him in that situation, getting out of the organization, as he's strictly relieved?
We've had that conversation. He loves starting. He loves the challenge of being a starting pitcher. Milwaukee obviously got to a point in time where they felt that it was in their best interest to put him in the bullpen. He's a big physical man with multiple pitches that he can get hitters out with, and it's tough to do mid-season. It's tough to do in August, but that is a conversation that we've had with him and certainly a consideration as we look toward this offseason and into next year.
Why do you think it didn't work out with Jung Ho? Is there anything you sort of would do over about that process, bringing him back and giving him the opportunities you did?
We saw the raw power. We still saw the hands. And we made the decision based upon the ceiling. And could we get that hitter back? We made the decision in part because of the change that he'd made in his life. And we believe that the man was headed in the right direction. Could we get the player headed in the right direction? The man, the off field, continued to be
good from everything that we could gather. He came into camp in the best shape, really, of his time in Pittsburgh, even back before the visa issue. We saw the hands, we saw the power. Unfortunately, the year and a half away from competitive baseball, it just made it very tough, and he had a hard time catching velocity, a hard time catching spin. And when he did, he hit it hard, he hit it far, but he just didn't do it frequently enough. And we told him on his way out the door that the work that he'd put in off the field, you wished it had paid off for him on the field. He ends up going to AAA with somebody, gets some consistent at-bats. It wouldn't shock us to have him turn a corner. We've got Cabrian Hayes and Cole Tucker, so it's tough to say we're going to have consistent at-bats for him in the minor leagues. And this is one we felt it was time to see if there was an opportunity prior to the trade deadline, if we could trade him or place him. We couldn't. Now we go through the designation process. Assuming he clears waivers, we'll have a decision to make. If he gets claimed, then he's somebody else's, and they can either carry him on their 25 or option him if they want to themselves. And that process will work to resolution here. But the young man worked hard. The traits that we saw to want to take the shot were still present. The hitting consistency became his biggest challenge, and he may never get it back, or maybe a sequence of consistent at-bats. He gets it back, and somebody will find themselves a pretty good player.
What a question about pitcher's growth year over year. Like, a guy throws so many innings the next year, how much do you want to what's your sort of feeling on how much a pitcher should go from one year to the next? Like, what number do you try to hit? And is anybody bumping their heads up against that this season? I think Musgrove has set a career high in innings.
Yeah, a lot of it comes back to the pitcher's recovery, the quality of the stuff that we're seeing. There's a lot of art to it. There's not a ton of true science to it. And we're working through that with our guys, and we've been conservative in the past, but there isn't a finite number that all of a sudden your risk increases exponentially. We don't really know that. There's some quick science that says there's a certain threshold out there, and there have been some players that have crossed it and done fine. There have been some players that have crossed it and didn't. But we'll continue to stay with our guys, monitor them. If you don't increase it, then you never get above what their career high was before. If you increase it too much, there is some belief that there is some exposure, but the too much becomes the hard part to identify.
Where are we at on Cabrian? It seems like the number is trying to be trending up for him hitting, but just what are you hearing, and how close is he to possibly making it up here?
Yeah, we're looking for that guy that we saw in spring training to show up on a daily basis that was looking to do damage when he got in the box and continue to be, you know, a good base runner and a really good defensive player. And there's some hit collector ability in here that he can shorten up and just hit a ball over the second baseman's head and get a line drive base hit. But that guy that we saw in spring training, it hit balls off batter's eyes and deep into the bleachers in Bradenton and other places. And that's a part of that adjustment process that it takes time. And just because we want it to happen doesn't mean it's going to happen on our time frame. And Kibrian's learning how to drive the ball, learning when to try to drive the ball, learning when to be a good hitter. And that combination takes longer sometimes than we want it to, and we also sometimes forget just how young he is because he has progressed in the system pretty quickly. And because of the spring that you all saw, you're waiting for him to turn that corner, and he'll be in a position to help us here sooner than later.
And what about Cole Tucker having to go back down for so long? What does he learn? Where is he kind of at?
Yeah, Cole's just refining his approach and his mentality at the plate, and he's had to go through a struggle, which is actually a good thing. Struggle at Beowulf there and here, and it's a great lesson to learn that he's going to need to stay consistent with his plan and understand who he is as a hitter and how he's going to be successful. He's continued to play good, solid defense and be an amazing teammate and leader. And probably not easy for him to sit up here and watch Kevin Newman put up the season that he's had. So meet Cole to get back to being Cole, and he's going to help this club for years to come as well.
So he played second base a couple of times down there in Indy. Is there a reason related to that club, or is it anything related to the way that Newman has played up here?
No, we talked with him going out the door that we had kind of gotten away from something we did a lot until Craig, Kramer, Newman, Tucker, and Hayes, and that we played guys all over the field. In fact, I remember taking criticism that we were developing utility players, and really we were just trying to find ways for guys to make a club. The way Josh Harrison made a club, the way Jordy Mercer made a club, the way Jungho Kang made a club was being able to play multiple positions, and then they earned their way. Adam Frazier made a club. They earned their way into regular playing time. With that group, we'd kind of gotten away from it. It wasn't an intentional movement away. It was more just let Tucker develop at shortstop because he needed development of time.
at short, Hayes, as good a third baseman as he is, let's let the bat play. And in Frazier's case, you know, or in Kramer's case, those two were taking short and third base primarily. So it was actually something we talked with Cole about going out. We wanted to try to get the bat back working in a good spot after his major league struggles. And so it looks like it's reactive to Kevin Newman, but it's something we've had in works from before Kevin actually, before the Kevin Newman Cole Tucker exchange.
Where have you seen the most growth with Vizcaino down there as far as picking up the Latin players, and notice you increased your pool money? Where are you seeing that going over the last couple of years?
Yeah, what's as evidenced by Polanco and Marte, when your Latin American program is productive, it's a huge advantage for you. And candidly, small market teams, it almost has to be productive for you because it's one of the areas that we can get elite to above average major league talent. In Junior's case, we've seen a really strong progression in terms of the athletes, in terms of the tools, in terms of the frames and the projectability. As you look 5 to 8 years down the road, and that's the hard part, is we're 5 to 8 years down the road before we'll truly know the impact of having Junior down there and the growth that he's brought on. And again, our prior regime certainly did a nice job, and you can see a few guys here and there. Looking forward to the impact that Junior's had, as we had to make a change, and we feel like we got better because of it.
You know, does it seem odd not to be trying to get all your players through waivers these last few days? I mean, it's been such a part of it for so long in this game.
It really has been. So normally the trade deadline ends, and you spend the next hour strategizing who you're going to ask on and when and why, and anticipating who's going to get asked on when and why from other clubs. And it's almost like a mini trade deadline every day for the month of August, because if you submit a claim, sometimes you submit a claim to block and you may end up with that player, and that's very real. Sometimes you submit a claim because you want to get that player, and now you've got to go 48 hours to try to match with that team, and they may take him back if they don't get what they want, or sometimes you make a trade. So really the last however many years, August is kind of a mini trading deadline every day. Just a lot of it you guys don't know about, a lot of it never comes out. And now it's more you're seeing some of the bigger names that haven't been productive, that clubs are moving on from, they're getting designated for assignments. Guys in the minor leagues that are just buried there because they're on the terms of a current major league contract, you can't trade them. Even if they've been outrighted, you can't trade those guys. So it's kind of an awkward situation right now. It's odd to August 4th and August 5th and not be, okay, who are we going to put on today? Who did we claim? What if we claim 6 and we get 5? Well, we're not going to get 5. What if you do? And so it's always an interesting dynamic. And as we've talked about year after year, the number of claims dramatically increased. And we had players get claimed by half the league and that we would never trade, but they'd claim them because they never wanted to wake up and have them traded somewhere else. And so it was an interesting dynamic that we'll see as we get to August 31st, what impact did it really have, and how does it change, and how do teams work around it? Because, you know, you're a competitive club right now. You have a very shallow pool of players that can help you from now to the end of the season.
What's the latest on Polanco?
Feeling much better. Range of motion is getting better, returning to baseball activities, and just build on each good day. And when we have a not-so-good day, how do we react to that and get back to having a good day? So remain optimistic. He continues to work hard. Needed to get some inflammation out of there, get some range of motion back, and he's working to do that.
You know, the past 2 weeks, you've had the Kellis suspension, the Yuki suspension, the brawl in Cincy. Do you chalk that up to just, hey, this is where we're at, we came out of the break not where we wanted to be, we're frustrated, or is there any, like, bigger picture takeaway there that you might maybe ask some questions or just kind of think a little bit more about why that stuff's happening?
Well, we work to evaluate as we go through everything, and we'll meet this week to go through the trade deadline and what could we have done better, what could we have done differently, what did we do well, and what lessons did we learn from it. And we'll do that with just about everything. Winning can sometimes be a beautiful deodorant to some challenges that are there, and when you're losing, it seems like everything becomes public, and those are you know, three incidents that we'll learn from that we need to make sure don't happen again. And put in place the right systems and people to learn from them, move on and advance and be better.
Do you address the whole team with that stuff, or do you kind of go to individual parties?
Yeah, and Clint and I've talked about it, and there's been a ton of conversations during and post, and more individualized than from my standpoint. I'd probably address the team as a group more frequently when in my early years than I do now. I get just a ton of respect for our coaches, and I feel that locker room is kind of their domain, and Clint's a good leader and one of our department heads, and I don't bring all of our scouts together and address them. Now I may get to during the draft and things like that, but we like our group. We've got work to do, and we're getting after it.
Where's the appeal process with Crick and Osuna stand?
Better question for them.
Oh, you haven't heard anything?
We have no involvement in that process. It's the player's agent and the union, and as the union did with, or Major League Baseball did with Kelly yesterday, they let us know that they've dropped and that they're going to start serving their suspension. And as far as we know, the last conversations, they're continuing to have conversations with the union about do they want to go to hearing or not, and if not, then they'll drop their suspensions, and we'll be told maybe a little bit before you guys will, but maybe not.
Well, what does, I mean, not having 10 days of Kella, I mean, yesterday it had an impact. What does not having 10 days of him do to you?
I think you look at our bullpen struggles this year, and we've not had him for about 60-some days this year, and it hurts. We've lost a lot of days to injuries, both on the mound and on the field, and I'm not singling out Keone by any stretch. Injuries happen, but we've certainly lost a large number of days, and those are painful days.
Bullpens can be so volatile in the first place, and you guys have had success managing that. What has made this year, this season, maybe a little bit more of a challenge? Is it been a combination of just guys all poor performances at the same time, or just maybe not the right mix?
So to answer the question on the bullpen, you're right. It is the most volatile. It is, in our minds, the most challenging part of a club to put together, and that's where you need and want depth, because there will be guys that get injured. There will be guys that, for whatever reason, have bad years. The other challenge of bullpen is just if you look at it solely based on ERA, Chris Stratton, for example, had a tough go of it before he came over here. Gives up 4, if I'm not mistaken, in his first or second outing with us, and the poor guy's been fighting uphill to try to get his ERA below 6, and he's throwing the ball really well for us. You know, a reliever gives up 4 runs in their second or third outing, and they're fighting uphill for a month to try to get that ERA back to respectability. And that's where we may roll guys back out there. His ERA is X, and you're wondering why. And the history goes back with Joel Hanrahan and Mark Melanson and many others that we've acquired that ERAs weren't very good, but there were some things that they did. Ray and our group helped them, and they turned into pretty good relievers. It is the most volatile, it's the most challenging. We're looking for some balance and combination of stuff and look and abilities and fortitude, and it doesn't always work the way we want it to, and it becomes the most frustrating part when you're losing games late. It's really frustrating, and the manager always takes the blame for it. If the guy that he brings in does the job, then the pitcher did his job. If he doesn't, then it's the manager's fault for choosing the wrong guy, and there's a lot that goes into who is and who isn't available and what the matchups say, and again, so much of this comes back to probabilities, and I know that we're getting criticized in the industry for being too probability heavy. Earl Weaver used to play probabilities back in the day, and we're not really doing a whole lot different. We're just doing it with deeper numbers maybe than Mr. Weaver did back in his day. So
he just screamed a lot.